Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Snell, for today, Thursday, September 29th, and I'm really excited about tonight's show. But first, as always, I'm going to throw out some reminders. The call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399 if you have a comment or a question for our guests or if you just want to listen by phone. I just want to encourage everyone who's out there listening by phone, if you know don't have internet access, we encourage you to listen by the phone. But if you can listen on your computer, please do so because the phone lines are lighting up and I want to get all those who want to speak, I want to get them through tonight. Also, I want to say hello to everyone that has signed in the chat room and those who are listening via computer and phone. Hello and thank you for joining us. And before we get started with our guests tonight, we have some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone. This is Danny, and I have beauty news for Thursday, September the 29th. A reminder to everyone, starting in October, Beauty Talk will be moving to Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So mark your calendars for this upcoming change. And also look out for upcoming information from Janice and Denise of Illusions Cosmetics about conversations with celebrity artists in Buckhead on November 16th at the Green Room Lounge. They definitely will provide additional information as it becomes available. And I know there's been a lot of talk on Twitter, but makeup artist and beauty expert Tia Dantzler will be hosting a workshop on Sunday, November the 6th, from 3 until 7 at Room 43 in Chicago. Come join the discussion as Tia talks about branding and strategy, the importance of social networking, and much, much more. Admission to this event is $150, and spaces are limited. So if you are interested in participating or to receive more information about this exciting workshop, please call 1-866-492-1544, and I'm going to repeat that, 1-866-492-1544, or visit www.thebeautyelixirworkshop.eventbrite.com. And lastly, Crown Brush is having a contest on Facebook. So what you would need to do is like their fan page for your chance to win $1,000 in Crown products when they receive 10,000 likes. The first 20 runners up, will receive a limited edition of Encore makeup brushes. And you can visit facebook.com/Crown Brush fan page. And this is the beauty news for today.
And let me just add, we said Beauty Talk was moving to Sundays starting October 9th. That's just temporarily. It'll be for 6 weeks until my sister and I finish this movie, and then we'll be back to Thursday night. So just try to follow us as best as you can, but we're just moving temporarily. Okay, so I just wanted to remind you all of that. So I'm excited, like I said earlier, for tonight's guest. Welcome to the show, AJ.
Hey, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm excited. I'm excited after a long day, but I'm very excited about tonight's session.
nice. I am excited too. I think, I mean, so much has been, you know, going on with Twitter, and, you know, I think to be able to voice some of those ideas, you know, and have people, you know, be able to chime into them and provide their feedback on it, I think is going to be a really great discussion tonight.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Why don't you tell our listening audience, I know a lot of them know who you are, but there may be some people who don't know who you are, or some of us who know who you are, but we don't know your story. Tell us what inspired you to become a makeup artist and when.
Let's see, what inspired me to become a makeup artist? I guess for me, it was always just the need of being able to express ideas that I've had in my head that I couldn't verbally communicate to others. And I also believe that you are the best interpreter of your ideas. So after tons of trial and error with trying to do it other ways, I just basically took the brush in my own hands, I guess, and decided that that I could figure it out. And I did. So I think that
and
was
how long
that
ago was that?
It's probably been about maybe 11 years now.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
And do you have, let me ask you this, do you have any regrets, I guess I should say, as to doing that? I'm sure you
No, have. Absolutely not. I mean, I've worked in several different capacities within the entertainment industry just from early on, starting
mm-hmm.
when I was about maybe 17 years old. So, I mean, for me, like I love new challenges and I love, you know, trying different things, and I've never not been the type of a person to try the things that I believe in or the things that I thought that I could do. And I've been fortunate enough to be successful in many of those. And I would just have to say that makeup was probably the one thing that took off in a bigger way. And it's taken me around the world, you know, at least 3 times. So, you know, I regrets. No, I've never regretted anything that I've done.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure you haven't. Have you faced any challenges during those 11 years that you know, wish to share or talk about?
Say that one more time. Have I faced any challenges with being
Have there been any challenges, just any difficulties, just trying to be the makeup artist that you are?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, early on, I think it was just more or less, it was about being noticed. Or, you know, really, I think, perfecting what I wanted, you know, perfecting my craft or not really knowing. Like, I've never really assisted any big artists for any long-term period of time. I have many friends who assist really great artists, and they've been there for three, four, five, and 6 years. For me, I didn't really take that route just because I didn't know that would be the right path for me. I kind of jump into things, like, and I go head first, and I just, you know, I start trying to swim. So I think the biggest challenge is just staying motivated when things are not necessarily going the way that you expect.
Right. Now, you mentioned assisting. You said you haven't assisted any, you know, big artists. Have you assisted at all? Anybody
I have.
At all?
Like, the assistant that I've done, like, Matthew Anderson was probably, no, that's not true. A makeup artist, her name is Desiree. She is the first makeup artist that brought me on as an assistant. And that was, I think, my first, that was the first time that I thought, oh, okay, cool, assisting isn't so bad, because I didn't really know what to expect. I had been working on my own, you know, for so long, and I'd never had a job where anyone would want to, you know, where anyone was offering any assistance work. So when I got this call, I was like, okay, cool, I would totally do it. It was a genuine video in Las Vegas. So that was really fun. And then from there, I assisted Matthew Anderson, which I worked with him for a couple of years on different projects. We did season 3 of Top Model together. That was the one big job that I was with him for the longest period of time. And then I worked with him with Christina Milian on the Dip It Low video, which for me, that led to me going out on tour with Christina Milian for about a year. Then Pat McGrath in Paris, and that was really great. I did all the best shows, 7 shows in about 6 days when I was living in Europe for a little while. And Torsten Witt. Torsten Witt is an amazing artist. He does hair and makeup. I've done CoverGirl stuff with him, so...
Okay. what do you think, because this is an ongoing conversation on this show, we talk about assistants quite often here lately, but what do you think makes a great assistant?
Wow, what makes someone that's just eager to learn. And, like, I was always eager to learn. I didn't know how to get the information, but when I figured out how to get it, I always wanted to do it. And it's not about the money. I think it's just about the knowledge that you're going to take away. And I think that so many, even before I got into beauty or into makeup, like, I interned all the time. You know, when I was working in artist development with one of Michael Bivens' labels, his Biv 10 record label at the time, I started out as an assistant, then moved on into artist development coordinator under the artist development director. And assisting and interning, you can't benefit enough from doing that. I think that a lot of artists today feel, or young people today feel, as if they're beyond that, or they have to get paid now. And, you know, it's just, there's an art. There's an art to being a great assistant. There's an art to being able to help someone's vision go longer, being a team player, really. You know, I think that's what it teaches you. It teaches you to really be a team player. It teaches you to go above and beyond. I think that a great assistant or a great intern, you're being resourceful. I don't ever want to have to tell you how to get from point A to point B. Like, that's why you're here. You're here because I need you to figure out how to get from point A to point B, and while I work on other things.
Right.
You know, I don't think that people get that.
Right. Absolutely. Now, this is something I never knew, and I never knew about your agency, Blackboard Group Management.
Yes.
And I'm sure some of your artists there use assistants as well.
Absolutely. So, well, Blackboard Group is really amazing because, you know, it's a new venture. It's a fairly new venture to the public. I've been building it and growing it for about 2 years now, in our fashion division. We boast some really great names, like fashion stylist Enrique Melendez, who he styles for will.i.am and of the Black Eyed Peas. He does Jason Derulo. He does Bruno Mars, you know, to name a few. And then we have Jason Rembert, who does an amazing editorial. And he works with some really great girls. As of late, he's been doing a lot of stuff with Winter Gordon and Lloyd and Jay Sean. He does everything for him. So, and some up-and-comers, you know. I think Blackboard is one of those places where, you know, everyone on our roster, we really get to benefit from my knowledge for sure, but then there's also just some great things and new, fresh things that they're bringing to the table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what does your agency in particular look for in an artist, a creative artist, whether it's a hairstylist, fashion stylist, makeup artist?
I think what we're looking for are people that are fresh and innovative. And you hear that a lot. You hear, oh, we want what's new. We want what's hot. We want what's fresh and innovative. But at the same time, there really is a meaning behind that. Like, I know that I can go to any one of the artists on our roster, and they will be able to give me really great references as to, you know, a direction that we're trying to go. I think that the artists that we're looking for have to be really well-rounded. You know, you have to be secure in yourself, and you're coming to the table with a sense of knowledge and a sense of confidence in your work, and it speaks through. They're go-getters. They're always shooting. Whether they're working on a project with a celebrity or something that they've produced on their own, or it's something that a photographer has come in and asked them to be a part of, however you've come to the production, they're always shooting. They're always trying to be better than the next. They're always researching. Their Rolodexes are full with connections to get them the best products or the best clothing. Is collaborating with the best people. I think that you have to want to do that. So they've definitely done their own homework before they got here, and what we do here is we help them take it further.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So that's the thing. The next question was going to be, what is your role, or what role does an agency have, I should say, in an artist's career? I know you want to take them further. And I guess I want to know, your role versus the artist's responsibility and role at your agency.
My role versus, well, I think I've taken a lot of cues from my own career. And that's basically in the sense of, you know, starting out, I knew before I even had an agent, I knew that I needed to hit the pavement. Everywhere I went when I first got to L.A., I was at Sunset Plaza. I was at the Beverly Center. I would walk up and down Melrose, and I would just have my portfolio, you know, with me. Not that I was going into every store or showing it off to every person, but because it was a conversation piece. And I knew that by having that, people would be interested, and it sparked a conversation on its own, to where I could then expand on the conversation and go in, and then a friend would say, or someone would say, oh, I have a friend who does this. You should meet them. It was networking. It was just networking. And I think that, you know, then moving on into working with my agent, I knew that I needed to be known in New York. I wasn't known in New York. So even though I had a fairly nice clientele growing, a lot of the New York magazines wouldn't work with me because they just didn't know who I was. And they had their own teams and they had their own cliques that they were working with. So for me, it was really important for me to get involved with a publicist. And that's when I hired, for a lot of you that know me or that have followed me, Troy Monaco. He was really the catalyst in building that brand for me and helping me to build the AJ Crimson brand to the point where I was known in New York, and I was known in other places, and it helped build the popularity. There's so many different things. It's the marketing behind the art. You know, this business, it's one thing to be an artist, but then you also have to be a business person, and you have to be, you have to learn how to market yourself. You have to learn what tools are going to work for you. And I think that with Blackboard Group, it's the artists are going to benefit from that. They're going to benefit from that knowledge, because what we are doing is marketing. We're more of a management company than an agency, I think, you know, just to, you know, I think that, you know, that's the artists that I'm working with now, that's what they need. They need more management and guidance because they're bigger than just going to set every day. They're bigger than just going to a job and dressing someone or doing someone's makeup. They're actually in line to be the next brand. You know, they're the ones that we're going to look for our fashion cues and our beauty cues and our beauty statements.
Exactly. Let me ask you, because some people are on the fence about whether they need an agent or not. Some are kind of afraid of agents. You know, some have heard stories about agents not paying them everything that they were supposed to get and this, that, and the other. Is it important to have an agent?
I absolutely do believe it's important to have an agent. And I believe it's important to have an agent. And this kind of takes us back to one question that I didn't touch on in your last, in the last answer, was the artist's responsibility. I think when people come to agencies, they often think that the agent is supposed to do all of the work.
Right.
The agent, your agent is in the office. Your agent is fielding phone calls, and they're connecting you and letting more people know about you in the office. You're out in the field every day. We as artists, on the artist side, we're out and we're meeting people. We're at the parties. We're with the artists. We're hanging with them. So we're consistently meeting people on set all of the time. And what I would do with my agents is if I knew that I just had a really great shoot and there was a photographer that I hadn't worked with before, I would get that photographer's information. We would connect on one level and keep a line of communication open, and then I would often take that information and give it to my agent so that my agent could follow up as well, because my agent may not know this particular photographer. I was rooted in music for the time that I had my agent, and her, all of her connections were the record labels, you know, so she wasn't necessarily, we got hired through the artist. We weren't hired through photography, where if you're in fashion, or some other aspects, a lot of the photographers come with teams. So realistically, we would almost never have that type of a connection. You know, you'd never be hired that way. So I wouldn't have that relationship. But I think it is important to have an agent. I think at some point, when you're ready to have one, when your work speaks to the quality and the standard of the agency that you're looking to work with, it's more beneficial because you get plugged into different types of work, and I think that the industry just takes you a little bit serious, more or just takes you more serious than you were when you walked in.
Gotcha. Kissable Couture.
Yeah.
Tell us how it all started.
Kissable Couture was an idea. I was actually working with Fergie at the time, and I was in New York, and I was on basically like a hiatus. I was on break for 2 weeks waiting for her to come to town. I had come early, and I was thinking to myself, like, man, I need to create something that can generate revenue without me actually needing to be there because, you know, unlike fashion styling, I couldn't just have an assistant show up and do the makeup. I wasn't there yet. And the artist wants you, but I was also looking at 2 weeks of time that I didn't really have anything on my books. And I think that just thinking forward of that space, I never wanted to be in that space again. So that was really the birth of Kissable Couture. It was originally supposed to be a lipstick line, but then I thought to myself, well, what is it that you use on a consistent basis? And I was always buying brand new lip glosses for Keisha Cole or Christina or even Fergie at the time. And there was a color that Fergie and I were using on as we traveled, and it was going out of production. It was going to be discontinued. So she's like, hey, like, you should make this. And that's pretty much what started. So from that conversation, from those thoughts, I took that back to my now business partner, Keisha, who was just my good friend back then. And I told her, I was like, hey, I have this idea for lip gloss. I think we should make something. And maybe about a month later, she called me and she was like, hey, what's going on with our lip gloss empire? And then we just start taking meetings from there. Yeah, it was really funny because when you put something out at first, you never really know how serious individuals are. And when she called me back to say, hey, what are we doing with this? That solidified it for me with her. And then it's like, hey, like, well, this is the research I've been doing. You know, let's take some meetings. And it just started to grow from there. Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about your collections and, you know, what or who inspired each collection?
Well, Kissable Couture is in its fourth year now. We just had our four-year anniversary, September 7th. We originally launched the brand online, and we are about maybe five branded collections in. I want to say the first collection was the first Kiss collection, which we started with our seven signature shades, which we named them all after boys. So the idea was, do you remember, for women, it was, do you remember, well, I guess men too, do you remember your first kiss? So it was really just geared toward that. You know, we wanted to just hit this place of nostalgia for the customer, you know, because everyone remembers their first kiss for the most part. So that's where we started. Then we moved into Everything Love Inspires, which was Bliss, Fantasies, and Dreams. Then we moved into Bare Your Soul, our Bare Your Soul collection, and then Transitions. And now, and then through the years, like, we've introduced other little things like Smooches, our Smooches 2, our Glamour kit, which we launched as an individual straight to customer, but we previewed it for QVC last April. So there's a lot of little things in the works, and we have some new stuff coming up. We're actually working on eyeshadows, which should be debuting pretty soon. We have a new collection called Kissable Couture Candies, which I'm really excited about. You'll be seeing that in the coming months, actually, for holiday. And I don't know. You just have to stay tuned. We have some collaborations working or brewing.
Okay. Well, let me ask if there are any questions or comments from the chat room.
Oh, perfect. This is what I was waiting for.
I can't hear. No, I can't hear my sister. Can you hear anything, AJ?
No, I don't hear it. Only you.
No, the thing is I can hear my sister from the other room speaking, but I can't hear her on the line.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I got you now.
Okay. Danny has two questions. The first one is, as an artist interested in creating a product line, what types of research must one do to differentiate your product from everything else in the market?
I think that that's where that's going to rely on your creativity. For me,
right,
for Kissable Couture, we wanted to create something that was that didn't feel like everyone else in the sense When you pulled it out, when you pull a Kissable Couture lip gloss out, you feel elegant. You feel beautiful. I mean, there's so much taste and so much class when you pull this particular tube out, as opposed to something that you got, you know, for $16 somewhere. You know, our packaging. One of the inspirations for Kissable Couture's packaging was it actually derived from watching my sisters when they bought Tiffany & Co. Every time they got a new piece, they always put it back in the box. And for me, seeing that growing up, when I bought clothes, I would always leave them in the box until I was ready to wear them. Like, I would just have the people at the store or at the mall, like, box all of my things up. And I don't know if that came from just watching old movies and seeing how, you know, when people used to shop, they used to all come in boxes. But it was just a special moment when you opened that one piece up, and whether it was a sweater you've been hanging on to for a month or 2 weeks or even a few days, when you have that moment with yourself, you feel really good about the purchase. You feel extra special. So with Kissable Couture, we wanted to make sure that every woman, when they were putting that gloss on, they felt extra special about what they were doing, not to mention that it was just a really great product itself, in the fact that it's not sticky or tacky or, you know, that doesn't leave like white residue in the corners of the mouth. And that was something that we just stumbled upon. But it's a feeling. What feeling or what emotion do you want to evoke? I think that's the type of research you want to look at. When I was first doing the storyboards for Kissable Couture and really trying to pinpoint who the customer was or who the girl was that was wearing, that would wear this gloss, I took tears from magazines and I put different images of girls up until we came up with her look, with her lifestyle, the things that she was interested in, and that helped us round it out into figuring out who we wanted to speak to in putting the brand out. So I think that would be one of the things that you want to do. What will differentiate you from the other brands on the market is how you define yourself.
Right. And Danny's also asking, Danny and Sherry both are asking, how did you know that you needed an agent? And then also the top points to know when you are ready for an agency.
How did I know? You know, I didn't know. I was my agent for a really long time. And it's really funny. I created a company before I moved from Michigan to L.A. called Crimson Inc. And I knew that Anthony would be AJ's agent, and at some point AJ Crimson would come together as one name. And that was pretty much how it worked. You know, Anthony agented AJ. And so I think I've always known that I've needed that, because you always need a voice. You always need a voice other than your own to fight for you. You always need a voice other than your own to speak to you in a way where, you know, or to speak to others in a way that you often sometimes cannot, and a lot of artists are afraid to do. One, because you just don't know. You don't know how much you're worth. You don't know what you could possibly get on a job, or where you might be being taken, or you're not getting what you're worth or what you're supposed to be getting. So having an agent is I feel like it is important, because you're partnering up with someone that is in your corner, and that is going to help to teach you and mold you and guide you in areas in which you're not accustomed. How do you know that you're ready for an agent? I guess, what's your clientele like? Is it something that's overwhelming for you? Have you built a clientele and you built a reputation, that precedes you in a positive light,
right,
to where, you know, that's really important. Your personality is so much more important than even the skill a lot of times. I mean, there's a lot of working makeup artists that aren't very great, but their personalities are amazing, and that's what keeps them, their foot in the door. The quality of work in your book, I think that you have to consistently be pushing for your work to look like the pages of the magazines that you aspire to be in.
Right.
And if they don't, if it doesn't, if it's not coming, if it's not looking like that, or it's not coming close, then you still have work to do. until you start receiving those tears, and that's why it's so important to test. What is another thing? I think it's just finding someone, and then it's also getting the feedback from the agencies that you're looking at, and looking at the artists that they are alongside with, and seeing if there's a place for you there. Obviously, you don't want to go to a place that has three other people that are doing the same work as you.
Right.
You know, they won't really need you. There's no place, because they're consistently pitching for those three people. So what would they need a fourth person for? Finding where you fit in.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to be actively pursuing an agency. So I think, you know,
absolutely.
I think you'll know, especially when you sign with one, that's when you know, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
that's when they know.
Yeah.
You know?
And okay. I think courting different agencies, whether
yeah.
it's getting on their assistance list, because for me, I wanted to work with Morgan Maldonado for a really long time. This is a really great agency here in L.A., and I end up meeting one of the bookers because through a friend, and that's how I met Matthew Anderson. And Matthew Anderson's team was a really hard team to get on, and the agent told me that before when I was applying. And I said, hey, like, I really want to work with Matthew Anderson. And he said, well, you know what? Matthew's team is probably one of the hardest teams to get on here. He said, because everyone wants to work with him. He pretty much created, like, the whole J-Lo glow thing. Some kind of way, just me always sending like a little touch base and sending like a thank you after a job, a thank you letter, handwritten. You know, those things stand out. You know, those things get you remembered. It's doing the things that other people aren't. And one day they called, and, you know, and that's when I ended up on Matthew's team. I was already with an agency at that time, so there was no real need or desire to move. But I made it on the teams that I wanted to be a part of, and it was just about being consistent.
Right. Now, Shauna's asking for you to elaborate a little bit on traditional makeup classes versus makeup 101. Elaborate a little bit more on traditional makeup classes, makeup 101 versus more specialized learning. Is like makeup 101 falling by the wayside?
You said, has makeup 101 fallen by the wayside?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't think it has at all. I think this is what pretty much sparked the question or sparked this interview a few days ago on Twitter. I was on Twitter, and, you know, two young ladies were comparing the differences between a Sam Fine class that was being given for $150 and a class that I had done just pretty much like as a public offering for 25 the year before. And there, the thing that was being debated was whether there was freebies involved in getting in this $150, which led me to say that many of you, either you have or you're anticipating on going or attending a school to get a certificate that I don't really know where the certificates actually are valid or what they proclaim, other than the fact that you've graduated and you've completed something, but you'll spend $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000. I had an intern who actually came to me and told me how she had spent $15,000 on a makeup school in one region. She moved to another region and spent another $7,000 to learn hair somewhere else. She spent another, you know, X amount of dollars somewhere else. And she felt after 10 years of doing that, she was no further along than she was when she started. So Makeup 101, no, it's not dead. It's not dead at all. I think that you all, whether it's whatever route you choose to go to, if someone is offering you a class for $150, then you should take it, because
that's right.
You're not going to – I don't use assistants all the time. Sam Fine doesn't use assistants all the time. Tia Danzler doesn't use assistants all the time. So, and in many cases, our clients, it's one-on-one. When I'm with A. Marie, I don't really need an assistant. I know the look. When I'm with Estelle, I don't need an assistant. I know the look. Unless I'm being booked for like some huge job, like a music video, which I very rarely do, in which, you know, the budgets are so low these days that you aren't hiring teams of people
yeah,
any longer.
Exactly.
you know, this is your opportunity to find out the things that, that working makeup artists know. Now, yes, there's different skill levels, and you would maybe want to investigate that because if, you know, if, but, you know, I don't even, I wouldn't even say that because if Billy B gave a class, I'd be there, you know, and not because I feel, and not because I don't feel like I don't know some of the things, but I don't know some of the things he's done. He's 20
right.
years plus in the industry. So absolutely,
right.
I would want to be there. If Reggie Wells gave something, I would be there. If Sam gave something, I would be there. You know, but even to someone, if there was someone new, if there was someone new that I that was just kind of on the radar and I didn't really know who they were, I would want to be a part of what they're doing because they're, I'm set in a way, perhaps, even though we try different things and we try to adjust our technique. There is a certain aesthetic or a certain way or a certain method that I use to get to my final product. But going to see how someone else gets to their final product, you learn, you get things. You can't stop with education. It's just like hair. You know, with hair, you can
right.
never stop learning new techniques. So, you know, I think that people need to, you need to race to these classes. You need to race, especially if you don't have $15,000 to go to Paris to learn from maybe the Makeup Forever school or their academy. It's just, these are economical ways in to enhance yourself.
Well, you know, you've got people out there, AJ, who have been in the business for 3 years, 4 years, and they're charging, you know, $450, $500 for a class. So why shouldn't you and why wouldn't you take a class with Sam Fine for $150?
Say that again.
I mean,
why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was like, why wouldn't you take a class?
That's what I would think. I would think, why wouldn't
you
race to that opportunity?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sam is working on things. Sam does this smoky eye that I love. And I've never, and I think I could put as much smolder as I want on a girl's eye and as much carbon on there. But unless I was sitting there with him and him showing me step by step how to get to that particular eye, because that is
right.
the way I would want to do it. I'll never do it that way. You know, and there's just certain things, there's just certain techniques, you know, that you pick up and learn that you can't. Now if someone that's 3 years in the game and they're charging you $450, you know, for a class, I would assume that they're teaching you something that is really spectacular or like a technique, maybe it's airbrushing or maybe it's some type of a,
mm-hmm.
you know, specialized art, you know, whether it be special effects or something to that effect, you know, that you would want to spend that kind of money on, or maybe their clientele, you know, speaks to who they are and why you should be there. That just goes into the research.
Right. And now, Santara is saying that class is priced at $150 because the class is raising money for an organization.
Oh, and that's even better. I mean,
but even if it
wasn't raising money for an organization, you have an opportunity to sit in the room with one of the greatest, you know, that's here. I mean, he's worked on everyone. So why wouldn't you want that opportunity to be face to face with him, to ask him all of the questions, or at least one of the questions that you've had?
Right.
Something to help enrich you or something to help you get that one step further. Like, I just don't, that's priceless.
Yeah, I think so. And quite honestly, the way the economy is now, I would jump at any class that was under $300. I mean, you know, if you could, you know, if you could
mm-hmm.
get there, I definitely would. You know, I remember those days when classes were $500 and, you know, so
well,
why
some
not?
Still are.
Yeah,
some still
exactly.
are. I think that, you know, even, and I know that a lot of people, even in industry, they use the economy as their excuse or scapegoat as to why you shouldn't make as much money or why you shouldn't spend certain things. But I see many girls that still have really great bags. I see girls who still have really great shoes, Louboutins, mm-hmm. and, you know, the like. And you're not mincing dollars on those things, so why would you allow yourself to suffer educationally, or, you know,
right.
how do you change how do you value one over the other.
Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely.
I mean, so we can look good all day, but I guess, you know, it's easy not to know nothing. Walk around, look good, but not know anything.
But call yourself
sure.
a mentor, but you don't want to spend
exactly.
the time or the small investment to, you know, further advance your skills.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was one of the things, even with me growing as an artist. When I came to set, when I was working more heavily as an assistant, everyone came and they broke out their Mac kits. Everybody had Mac, you know, and that's, you know, because it was a standard. Like, you know, as a makeup artist, you just had Mac. It was a thing to do. Me, I had worked at Mac, so yeah, I had a bunch of it, but I also started getting into NARS. I started getting into Makeup Forever. I started to get into Chanel. My skincare was things that I had gotten shipped from overseas here. So when I set up my makeup kit on the counter and Fergie walked in the room, or Christina or whomever else walked in the room, they're looking at my setup and they're asking me questions because they're seeing things that they hadn't seen before. And
right.
now they want to know about it. So yeah, my $300, I worked a job the week before and it only paid me $250, and I took half of that and saved it, and I took a little bit from another job, and I bought that $250 face cream because mm-hmm. I know that that is an investment that's going to get me back more reward many times over, because my client is going to see that I'm investing in myself and investing in them, like, for them to have the best. People want the best. They don't want what everybody else can get them or things that they can go get themselves. So how are you going to differentiate yourself from the next artist if you both have the same kit?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
we
true.
Can all go to Duane Reade, and we can all go to CVS and buy, you know, tons of, you know, drugstore makeup. But is that what your client really wants? Yes, a lot of it works the same, you know, but is that what your client wants? They can go there and get that. And yes, it is how you work with a product, because I'm sure there's a lot of people say, well, it's not really about the product, it's how you work it. That's true and that's not true. Some products are better than others. And, you know, but you can't come in the door and command a top dollar and you're doing everything with drugstore cosmetics and you're not endorsed by that cosmetic line.
Right.
And even then,
right.
you're still using other products.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I don't know, am I making sense?
Yes, you are. You really are. You definitely are. We have a caller from the 313 area code, so I'm going to bring them on.
Nice.
Hello.
Detroit.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Hi, guys. This is Jennifer James Beauty. How's it going?
Hi,
great.
Jennifer
how are
James.
You?
Hi, AJ. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm really super enjoying the richness in your vocabulary about the industry on so many different levels.
Oh, thank you.
I remember reading somewhere that you spoke about, you told some little story about being a little kid and always wanting to learn. Can you just expound on some of the early signs that you saw in yourself as a little kid that led you to the path that you're on now? I would love to hear a little bit more about that, because you're so interesting, and I love how you speak about everything. So,
oh, thank you. Well, when I was younger, I don't know. I played with Legos until I was maybe about 13 years old. My dad took them away at 13 because, you know, I did everything with them. I made little VCRs, little VCR tapes, anything that I could create with a set of Legos, I did. So, you know, anytime I could go to the Toys R Us and get something, it was pretty much that. I don't know how I watched a lot of television when I was growing up. That was a plus and it was also a negative. I think that, you know, because by the time I got to high school, my vision of what high school was supposed to be, which was like Saved by the Bell, it really wasn't that. So, that was really interesting. But outside of that, I think just in terms of my development and growth, my spirit has always really been young. I've always been a builder. I wanted to first be an architect. I can remember, you know, buying in the grocery store, they would have these home magazines that had blueprints in them, and I would get those and go home and create my own blueprints. By the time I got to high school, I pretty much said in my mind that I was going to be an architect. And then I got involved in computer-aided drafting and design, which took me in a different direction, more geared towards creating parts or tooling for vehicles. But even then, I started working at Ford Motor Company when I was maybe 16 in the world headquarters under Gerald Ducharme, which was the then president, or he's the lawyer who basically facilitated the Jaguar and Ford merger. So, you know, working in his office and just seeing how things work there, and I don't know. I think it's just, I just always challenged myself. I definitely think I was probably a black sheep in my family. I didn't think like everyone else. I always wanted to travel. I knew that I would never, you know, stay where I was. When I was younger, I wanted to be in Europe. I wanted to see and live and explore, you know, that lifestyle just to know. I built my career on dreams. You know, I think that it really sat in me one time when I was talking to a sibling, and, you know, they're younger, and I said, well, what do you dream about? And the reply was, I don't dream, because that's not my reality. And that was so sad for me, because everything I did was based on the dream, and just knowing that my dream could come true. I believed in myself when no one believed in me. And even in the roughest times of that, I believed in myself. You know, you have to. You can't depend on anyone else to. No one can want your dream more than you. And I think that is something that we all need to embrace and take home with us, because a lot of you are out here and you're saying, oh, well, I'm doing this and I'm trying. You're not trying hard enough. You're not trying hard enough because you're not there. And I don't want to say that everyone's going to get there, but you're going to get a little bit closer. You have to keep pushing yourself. You can't expect your mother to do it. You can't expect me to do it for you. You can't expect Twitter to do it for you or anyone else to want your dream more than you. There's no one in my organization that wants better for me more than me, because no one benefits more than me.
And no one loses more.
Say that again.
I said, and no one loses more than you.
And no one loses more than me. And that's the winning closure to that statement, because if I stop working, then it all just stops.
Right.
So you have to drive your train.
Okay.
Is our caller still there?
Yes, I was letting you finish. I love it. I'm taking it all in. You are so inspiring. Thank you for answering that, and thank you for expounding more on some of the cerebral processes. I love to hear that. It's so great to hear that, and it's great to hear some Detroit history in there. Take care.
Nice. Thank you.
Do you have any more questions, Jen?
No, I'm good. That was great. I'm high. I'm going to go tweet some more. So.
Oh, right. Okay. On. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Great show, guys. See you later.
Take care.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. We had a caller on from the 917 area code a little earlier, but we lost them. So if they want to call back and get their question in, we can do that.
Perfect.
Oh, here we go. Okay. As soon as I said it. Okay, we bring them in. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, it's Brandilyn. Brandilyn Fulton from Detroit, Michigan. I live in New York now.
Hi, Brandilyn. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hi, AJ. How's it going?
I'm great. How are you, Brandilyn?
I'm hanging in there. I know that you guys said that, you know, you lost me, but I end up being able to get back on. So I'm very happy to catch the show weeks after, because I'm always working. But thankfully, I have an evening off to myself, and I'm just really happy to hear you talk and everything. I actually did have a question and I wasn't sure if it was just when I was on the bus, I just didn't hear it correctly. But did you get the agent first, or did you have a publicist first? I think I missed that transition.
I had an agent first. For about a year, maybe 2 years when I touched down in L.A., I was doing a lot of it on my own, just finding things on the internet and connecting with people. And actually, I had Fergie as a client before I had my agent. So Fergie was like my first major label client that I had had, and I had been traveling. It was at a time when, you know, she and I were splitting airfare, you know, for me to go places with her. And for me, that was, one, for her to believe so much in me to want to do that. And then, you know, for myself, it was an investment that I needed to make because I didn't need to open up the door for any, I didn't want anyone else to touch her face with me. You know what I mean? And that was just, it was, and I needed to seal my deal and make sure that I was everywhere where she needed to be, to make that happen, you know? So then after that I got my agent, you know, and it was maybe about just as that project was getting started, you know? So, okay. Because I know
I wasn't sure which one came first.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
And then I got
awesome.
The publicist. So the publicist came after. It was really just me wanting, because it was Vibe Magazine, actually. I want to say it was Vibe Magazine, and I was with Faith Evans. I've been working with Faith Evans for a while, and the people at Vibe didn't really know who I was because I was L.A.-based, even though I was the artist request. They were like, well, we have our team. We want to do something new. You know, and you can't expect your client to not do a cover of a magazine because you can't be a part of it. But I knew that I didn't not want to be a part. I couldn't be excluded from an opportunity like that again. And that's when I just started connecting dots and meeting people in New York. And that's how I met Troy. And we basically, you know, came together to devise a plan to just build that brand, you know. And what's so funny is that, you know, publicity is not cheap, folks. You know, it's not.
No, it's not.
That's
what I was wondering. I'm like, wait a minute, which one came before? Because I think I mean, you don't hear very often, at least I don't know very often, people having both an agent and an active publicist, unless I just wasn't sure which one it came first when you were talking about just how, you know, how everything came together. So thank you.
But it wasn't even that I was making a ton of money either, you know, and that's what I think that you have to understand as well. Like, my entire career, my entire life has been an investment in myself. So if I break even a year, you know, then that was a great year. You know, it didn't matter how much, you know, yeah, like there are certain things, obviously you want to be able to buy nice things. And there's been, you know, there's times, you know, when you want to go, and I've spent $3,000 in a shopping trip just because I was like, oh, look, I just felt like that, you know. But so I've made a lot of money and I've wasted a lot of money, but I've invested more money in myself than anything. And sometimes you may just be getting by, but you need to pay that publicity bill because that's what's going to get you noticed even more. So that, you know, the fact that a magazine is writing about me, or, you know, they want to speak to me and talk to me, and, you know, and then in turn that translates to people like you who now I'm reaching more and my brand is growing. I couldn't pay Troy enough for the job that he's done for me, period.
That's I mean, being that I met Troy years before I even moved to New York, and then seeing, you know, hearing you talk about this, and just knowing, you know, just seeing firsthand how you guys have built this empire together, it's just really nice, and I'm just very happy that, you know, I just wish you the best and everything, and I'm just very happy that I got a chance to talk with you on Illusions Cosmetic Beauty Talk. So thank you.
Awesome. Absolutely. Thank you. I'm really happy for your question. I'm glad you're there
for
your answer question.
Any more chat room questions and comments before I move on?
No more. I don't see any more as of now.
Okay. So, AJ, I wanted to get into some things that that's how we how I decided to get this show going. And one of the things that you asked on Facebook was, what do you do when you think you've done all you can? So I want to start that conversation rolling.
Well, that's a really great question. It's a very powerful question, and I think that we all need to ask ourselves that question every day. You know, what can you do when you've done all you think you can? I think that we often find ourselves, and I find myself in that place, you know, sometimes where, you know, I feel like I've gotten the publicist and I've, you know, sent my comp cards out. I have a website. I have an agent. I have all these things, you know, but maybe, you know, my career is not necessarily where I want it to be. It's a great career to have, and I'm sure that there's a ton of people that would want it, but is it where I stop? Have I done all I can do? You know, maybe I haven't, you know, and I think oftentimes we don't do all we can. I definitely think that there came a time in just my own career where I was a little jaded by what I thought or what my expectations were or you know, the things that I had become accustomed to. I remember being in Brazil, I want to say it was, and I was with Hilary Duff, and it was just the start of the tour, and I was walking backstage, and I was thinking, why did I do this tour? Like, I just want to go home. And there was nothing wrong with the tour. I just felt like, why am I traveling? I really want to just be at home, back in New York at the time, and you know, like I could be doing something else. And then I thought about it as I walked up the ramp to the back of her stage and looked out, and there was a stadium full of glow sticks from left to right all the way around. And I snapped out of it. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what the F are you talking about? Like, this, there was a time that you would have done this job for free. You would have loved and lived, and you would have done anything you could do to be here. And now you're here and you're complaining, or you're not speaking and being grateful for the opportunity that you have and thinking about all the other people that would love to be here too, but you were chosen to be here. So, you know, it's getting past that moment as well. You know, like, that was ridiculous for me to think that, but sometimes you get there. Sometimes you get blessed with so much that you forget the road that it took to get there. And mm-hmm. So when I ask that question, have you done all you can do, you know, have you really done all that you can do when you feel like you've done enough? The answer really is no. You know, we have to continuously keep grinding every day to be better, you know, because I'm not Pat McGrath. I'm no Pat McGrath. I'm not in that category with her. You know, I'm not recognized in that category with her. So that lets me know that I still have work to do. You know, Charlotte Tilbury, you know, like all of those artists, they're huge in editorial, but I haven't even grazed the editorial world in that fashion to be considered one of the greats or to be considered amongst one of them. I've worked on Pat's team before, you know, but what is that? You know, that's just me enriching myself, and that's me contributing, you know, to that. So depending on what your goals are and depending on where it is that you see your career going, whether it's beauty, whether it's hair, makeup, wardrobe, whether it's, you know, you working in some other capacity of the industry, you always have to challenge yourself. You know, when I hire assistants, I don't hire assistants because I want you to be my assistant for 10 years. I actually tend to hire people that are overqualified to be assistants, but those are the kind of people that I want around me. I want people that are striving to be the best and that are going to work hard, and I don't have to micromanage every 10 minutes. Like, nothing pains me more than to have to walk you through a task because I might as well have just done the task myself.
Right.
You know, right. So, you know, you have to. I was reading something that Crystal Wright wrote just a few days ago, or I don't know when she wrote it, but I know she retweeted it, and it was it had said, you know, in September, now that September has come, and those of you who have been in the industry, you know that around November, December, our industry just shuts down. So she spoke to that and how in September you have to start sowing your seeds for November. And that was that just really clicked and put things back into perspective for me seeing that, because it's very true. Like in September, you have to start grinding a little harder. You have to put in, you know, a few more hours, you know, at the computer. You have to get on the phone a little bit longer. You have to send a few more emails out, because work is going to be over just after Thanksgiving, really. You know, a lot of projects end at just after, once Thanksgiving hits, it's kind of a wrap. Like for years, I've never worked in December. December has always been just a very dry month, maybe one or two things, but that's usually the month that I use to organize my office and organize, you know, myself for the new year. So, you know, those of you who, but I think you have to adapt that model to every day of your life. Like I get up at 6:30 every day, you know, and I typically go to bed, you know, at about 12 or 12:30, sometimes 1 a.m. So.
Well, you know, just to make a little comment, to the question that I asked, I also saw somebody in the chat room say AJ checked himself. And like you and I spoke about earlier, AJ, you do have to check yourself from time to time. And we talked about how we often get comfortable. You know, you get comfortable, you're working consistently, people are calling you to come work, you don't have to show your book, you don't have to submit a resume, you don't have to interview, you know, people just hire you because they know you or whatever the situation may be. And then when all of that stops, you're sitting around looking, wondering, you know, what am I going to do and how am I going to do it? You know, and so we have to have these times where we check ourselves. We have to have these times where we ask ourselves that question, you know, what do we do when we get to this, you know, this point where we felt like we've done all, you know, all that we can, and, you know, how are we going to reinvent ourselves? We have to constantly, you know, be trying to learn ways of how to reinvent ourselves. We have to constantly try to learn something new and be open to learning something new. And I don't really care what level, you know, you're at, you know, where you are, how long you've been doing makeup, you know, how many people know your name, whether you have an agent or not, whether you have a publicist or not, whether, you know, you're getting paid a lot or not. We all have to check ourselves. We all have to reinvent ourselves. We all have to ask ourselves that question from time to time.
People always say, I mean, they say it all the time in the industry, that that you're only as good as your last performance. So you always have to ask yourself, what did you work on last? And I'll tell you just from experience. I mean, if you follow my career, you know that I started with Fergie, went into Keisha Cole, worked with Christina Milian, then Latoya Luckett, A. Marie, Estelle, now Carrie Hilson. There was a time that four of those girls were working consistently. They all had album projects out. Faith Evans, these girls had album projects out. And this was before the economy changed. So my agent had me on a plane. I would be in New York on a Monday night, get on a 6:30 flight, red eye, to be in New York by 9 o'clock that night, to be ready for one of the other girls that next morning in LA, finish that job with them in LA, leave to be on a 12 o'clock Delta flight back to New York to be back at work with another artist on that Wednesday. So, and just back and forth. Like I went back and forth between LA and New York, like I was going from Brooklyn to Manhattan. But then the kicker is that there was also a time that all of those girls, they didn't put records out for at the same, it felt like the same year. It felt like the same year or 2 years even that no one had a record out. And Rihanna was popping at that point, but she had Mila. She had Mila Morales, so she doesn't need me. I worked with her once or twice, you know. But her team was set, you know, and I don't even think. And B, she has always, she's longstanding, had her team. So that was a team I was never, I never even anticipated on being on that team. And then I can't even remember who else was out. But now think about where we are today and the girls that are out now. So you still pretty much have the same players as Nicki Minaj, but she has an amazing artist that, you know, that she loves. So she's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Hudson, she has her team. So she's not going anywhere. Rihanna, again, B, again. So what other girls are out? Lady Gaga, you're not really, she has a team. So, and in this industry, in music, because that's pretty much where a lot of my revenue had come from, there's no girls. There's no girls coming out. And if the girls are coming out, they're only coming out with maybe one single, and they're not even getting to albums. You know, so what does that say? Where are you going to go as an artist?
Right.
You know, what are you going to do? And that's where the question comes in, you know, more to play. Like, are you doing all that you can do when you think you've done enough? Because what are you going to do now that there's only five girls out and they all have artists? And like I said on Twitter a few days ago, they have their first, their second, and their third. So those are options. And you haven't even, you don't come anywhere near that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think, you have to be inventive. You have to think of new areas, you know, to make money and to explore your creativity. You know, so maybe it's not in music. Maybe because music is dying. And, you know, celebrity, you know, that is just, it's a hard nut to crack, you know, and everybody's not going to be able to be a part of it. You know, fashion is another one. You know, but fashion, from what I hear, I don't really know, they don't do a ton of it from the makeup side of it. You know, that's a ton of editorial, but where are the magazines? So it's not even a lot, even that many magazines anymore for you to get a name credit or for you to even want to do something for free or to even get the $150 that most magazines pay you to get, pay you to be a part of. And now that everything's gone online, are they really paying people to do online editorial? No. So how are you going to make money doing this? That's the question. Like how?
Well,
and it's so oversaturated every aspect.
I'm going to wait till this is over so I can call Verizon back.
What did you say? Call Verizon, right? You said call Verizon. Yeah, I know, right? But you know, but I think for me, you know, that's why I spend a lot of time on my brand. I spend a lot of time with Kissable Couture. I have other things that I'm building. You know, and that are in the works because you have to, you just have to be willing. I remember when I was working with Matthew and he was telling me how, there was a time, I'm not going to pinpoint the job, but he had made about $20,000 on one music video. And this was back in the Hype Williams days, you know, so I wasn't even thinking about, you know, makeup at that point. So I was kicking myself like, man, like I wish I had been a part of those times where you could make, where there was a $1 million video. Now music videos, you'd be doing great if you get on a music video that where the entire budget is more than $50,000.
Right.
So the entire budget for that music video is $50,000. You're not making any money. I had a call just a few weeks ago where someone asked me to come do a music video for $500.
I knew you were going to say $500 because that's the going rate.
Yeah, and I was like, what? I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, no. I was like, I can't show up for that. If I have someone that can, like when I can't even remember the last time that I've been on a music video set and made that. And maybe that was because I always came with my artist. You know, I'm not really sure what the dynamic was, but you know, it's definitely not the industry that it once was.
Yeah, I mean, the budgets were definitely more back then, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I mean, my goodness.
I have a friend who she's a hairstylist, and she's very well known and has a huge clientele. And for one of the award shows recently, a client called, and they offered about the same rate, maybe $600. $600 to someone who has shaped the image of very notable people, and that this client counts on consistently to create their look. And it's just, you know, but either you take the $500 and get the look, because at that point it's really just more about the look of the red carpet, you know, so that you can go get some of the other things that are going to finance your life, you know, because it's a give and take.
Right.
You know, you need those red carpet moments. You need those editorial moments to be able to show that you can actually do great work and do a great job and be considered for advertising or be considered for, you know, some of the other well-paying jobs. You know, it's a non-ending cycle of renewal.
Yes, I agree.
This industry has pressed a reset button on all of us.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
You know,
in all areas.
Yeah, you know, and it's not just the creative sides. You know, it's the people that are putting it together as well. If you're not creating the show or you have some ownership in what's being done, like, you're definitely not making, you're not getting rich off of it.
Right.
Do we have any more callers? I love their questions.
Right.
JK,
I don't
call in, JK. I'm putting it out there.
Because you've done a lot of commenting in the chat room, so get on the phone.
Really, what
do
they say?
We have a lot of, let's see, maybe my sister can read some of them because it's moving kind of fast.
Send questions on Twitter, too, at AJ Crimson, because I'm looking at it so I can see certain things.
Oh, okay. Well, here's JK Hunter. I'm going to bring her on. Hi, JK.
Hi, ladies.
What do you have going on in your background?
In the background? Nothing. That was me clapping and laughing at you all.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. It's quiet in here. It's very quiet. I made it to the house. So, hi, AJ. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You all are funny. Yes, I was already on the phone. I just hit one when I heard you say that.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when you said something about people working for lower rates,
yeah,
I've mentioned that many times, how people work lower, and I have, like, I live in Nashville. The ladies know
okay.
that. I've worked with them. And I'm, like, the main person here in Tennessee, and I have competition that does that. They like to underbid me. But what I've noticed with people doing that is they end up losing their houses.
Yeah.
They lose their cars. And just, you know, kind of expound so people can hear a little bit more about that. As you tend to undercut people, what it does to you and what happens with the market, because it really
Absolutely.
Does with the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we talked about
Well, earlier. I think there's just so many people, and there's so many young people, and when I say young, I just mean young in the industry, and you're so eager to do this person or to do this job that you don't realize how you're devaluing what has been built. You know, like, I can only imagine, like my agents, how, you know, I can remember when my agent took my rate from $500 to $2,500 over, you know, over a span of a few years. You know, when I was working on my own, like, some things I was making $500 on my own, maybe $1,000, and then she took me to the top. She took me to the top financially, and then you have someone that comes along, you know, and I didn't get there because I wasn't good. I got there because I was good. I got there because I was great at what I did and what I offered to my clients. So when you have, you know, someone that's coming in the game or entering into the industry, and you're so eager to just get that job, and you take $200 as opposed to the $1,000 that they actually had budgeted for, but because you didn't, you didn't know or you didn't trust yourself enough to maybe ask for more or want more or be more, then you just set a new standard for how that job is going to be positioned now. So it's like, wow, like we saved, you know, $800 by paying him $200. So we'll just only budget $200 the next time for someone to do that. You know, you just, I don't know. When you undercut and you underbid, especially in a lot of the smaller markets, you know, when you undercut and underbid, you really disservice the entire community of that industry there. You water it down. Hello?
You really do.
Yes. I had put it on mute trying to stop that feedback, but that's Sprint. Sorry, you all. you really do undercut the market. And I know EMI is here in Nashville, and they've been doing that a lot. Once one or two people kind of came up and sprung up after me, they started doing that. Basically, they're taking record covers, CD covers, $200 and lower. Because
wow.
A few people started doing, hello. I can't keep my house like that. So, you know. It's just they just don't realize how much they screwed up the market. They think that they're getting jobs and getting jobs from me, but no, what you're doing is becoming homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, it's just like how many jobs do you have to do in order to make up what you were making before? You know.
Right.
Like imagine, you know, I think. Yeah, just imagine. I mean, imagine like an artist that's. You know, custom, like, let's say even say $1,500. If you did one or two jobs, you know, at $1,500 a week, realistically, like that, well, depending on where you are, like, you're living a great life, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you go to McDonald's, you make about, what, $24,000, $30,000 a year? So, you know, what's $30,000 a year?
Right. I think somebody said Since when did makeup artists become as famous as the clients? Technicolor said.
You say what?
Yeah.
When did artists become as famous as the client?
Yes. Somebody said that in the chat room.
You know what? I think that's kind of a good thing and a bad thing. I think that when depending on the artist that you work with, you know, that can kind of shoot you in the foot, you know. I think also, too, the more, I guess, quote-unquote famous that you get, you know, sometimes that scares a lot of clients that don't really have, you know, the money to that they think that it would take to afford you. I know that happened to me, you know, where, like, because of the state of the music industry and the state of the record companies, you know, I would always get, oh, Asia, like, you're really expensive. I was like, am I really expensive? Like, well, you know, just, you know, actually, like, I really want to work with that person. So if you just ask me, you know, I'm sure we can work it out, you know. I know well enough and have been around long enough to know that every artist isn't going to come with the same budget, you know.
Right.
So I may not be as expensive as you think, but because of the perception of of the world around me,
mm-hmm.
lends to that, then, you know, then that is that downfall. But I wouldn't change that, you know, I wouldn't change any of that because I do feel like my work is worth that, you know, and I think that I've done a lot for my career to be that person. You know,
right.
I've invested a lot. So, you know, so maybe what it is that maybe I am too expensive for this, but I'm just right on target for something else. And it's just about finding what or tuning in or tapping into what that something else is. You know, you may be, you know, you may have gotten to a place where, you know, you started out and you were charging $250, you know, for, you know, like a quick makeup job, you know, but then you priced yourself out of your market, you know, when you went to $500. That might be just for that market. Maybe it's time for you to try a new market. Maybe it's time for you to go, you know, somewhere else. You have to keep growing, and you have to keep growing. You can't limit yourself to the fish tank that people want you to grow into. You know, like as big as the tank is only as big as the fish will grow. So,
yeah.
You know, you just have to find the moment that's right for you, I guess. You know.
Absolutely.
And again, it just goes back to reinventing yourself, making yourself not expendable. I think there's so many artists that are just doing the same thing. And that's why it's easy for producers or decision makers to just take their pick, you know, because everyone's doing the same work. No one's being different. No one's putting another twist on it. No one's taking the extra step to make themselves stand out above the rest. I mean, that's partly it. That's a big portion of it.
Absolutely.
You know, when you get out, when that, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. One of the other topics that you mentioned on Facebook, you said, how is a successful artist made? And that's something we
Is that a question
about.
For me or?
Well, it's a question for everyone listening. Tell us what you think. Maybe you can go ahead and answer, but for some of the ones who are listening by phone, you want to kind of chime in on that, or some of the ones in the chat room, what are your responses to that question?
Yeah. How is it? I would really be interested to know, you know, how others think that successful artists are made. I mean, I've said it, you know, earlier in the conversation that, you know, you really have to, you know, it's about going above and beyond
right.
for yourself, going above and beyond for your client. You know, being realistic. I really want to go back to, I really want to touch base again on just the whole assisting moment and intern,
okay.
because I always have this conversation with one of my clients, actually, because we both had our fair share of assistants and interns, and I've had some really great ones, but I've had some really horrible ones, and it's just because you don't realize that the world of AJ Crimson is not just, it doesn't just exist on set. So, and I don't want to make this just about me, but I think other artists that are, or anytime you're in a position where you're hiring support, it's important for the support to understand that you're there to support. You're there to do more, to do extra. You're there to be inquisitive, and you're there to come to the table with ideas. You're there to, you know, and depending on who you work with, I know here at my organization, I want ideas. I don't want to be the only guy thinking about things. You know, now there are some areas in which I know what it is that I want. I know how I want to execute it, and I really don't want your input. I just really want you to execute. But when the floor opens up for you to offer your input, don't stand there with your mouth open. And another thing, don't tell me how your bills have to get paid, because I don't really care. I don't care how your bills have to get paid, because you don't care how mine have to get paid. But what I do care about is, are you getting here on time? Are you putting in 110% for the time that you are here? I don't care if you're here for an hour. I have one intern now, and I absolutely love her to death. She's absolutely changed my life and the way my business operates.
Mm-hmm.
Single-handedly, she, you know, and knowing that it's an internship. So that is, that kind of a person makes you want to go find the dollars to pay her. Because I want to take her from her regular job, because she goes to work at her regular job, you know, from early in the morning till about maybe 6 o'clock at night, and she's willing to come work in my office from 7 to 11 at night, maybe later, depending on the flow of work. That's the kind of person that I want to work with. Those are the kind of people that I want. Like you, I want the people. I want me in my office. Period. Like I just, and there's so many of you that just don't think like that. There's so many of you who just, you know, I just want to be on set. You know, well, no, that's not the business of running a business. It's more than just being on set, because there's invoices that have to go out. That's why so many of you are missing so much money, because your invoices don't go out on time. And then when they do, I don't know, it's just like this weird preconceived notion of what this life is supposed to be, and I think you just don't get it until you get here. But then when you get someone, you know, like me speaking in this voice, you know, to you, you feel offended, you know, you feel as if you need your, you need me to call you or walk you through this moment. And it's like, no, I don't have time for that. No one has time for that.
Right.
Just buck up. Only the strong survive.
Amen, amen.
It's true. Like, I had an intern more recently, and, you know, and I swear for the life of me, I would just look over at the computer and just wonder, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you over there doing? Like, hey, I need you to research some of these decision makers. They're like, I'm looking to send out a mailer to this group of individuals, but we need to find it. So what she did was she went to Google and Googled LA production companies or whatever it was that I was looking for, and pulled up this list and forwarded me the link. I could have done that on my own. I don't want you to just send me the link. I want you to find the, I want you to get the link. I want you to find the people that are relevant to the conversation at hand, get on the phone, call them, find out who I need to send this package to, because really you need to send the package out. You're going to send
right?
it. So you need to know who you're sending it to. And when I say we, I don't really mean me, we as in you and me. I mean we as in you.
That's right.
You know, and it's, and she just didn't get it. And she also didn't last very long. You know, we have to, but then she's also frustrated in her own career. But what you fail to realize is that, yes, you're doing things for, yes, you're doing things for me and you're helping my career along, but you're also helping your career along, because if you were smart, you'd be realizing that, wow, you know what, finding some of this information isn't as hard as I thought it was. And I can apply some of these same principles that I'm learning here to my own career and get that much further to being the artist that I want to get to. But you don't walk in the door thinking that. And when you're there, you're not thinking that. You're just thinking that you're thinking about the immediate. You're always going to have a bill to pay. You're always, nine times out of ten, going to have a creditor that you owe something to, because you have a car note, because you have a mortgage, because you have rent that needs to be paid, because you have a cell phone bill. There's always going to be someone knocking at your door for a check. But if you're not, but if you don't know how to get to the money, then you're just always going to be on this rat race. And if you're not willing to lose a little money, to make a little bit more, then you're definitely going to be that. Like, it's always interesting to me how when I do classes or seminars and people ask, or they say to me, AJ, like, I work this job and I really hate it and I really want to be a makeup artist, then quit. If you don't like working at the makeup counter, quit. You know why? Because you're going to get fired anyway, because it's going to show through your work performance that you don't want to be there. So why are you dragging it out? Quit. Go do it as you want to do.
Yeah. We have another question from the chat room, AJ.
Awesome. If I'm talking too long on some of these comments, cut me off.
No, not at all.
Oh, no.
It's from J.K. Hunter, and she's wondering, did you ever work with yelling, crazy acting makeup artists, and how was that experience?
No, I never really had that. I think you attract who you are, you know, so I think that who you are speaks before you actually speak. You know, the way you walk in the door and the way you present yourself is going to tell the story of how you need to be treated. And you know, and I know there are some crazy, I mean, I know there's a stylist out there. There's a couple of stylist friends of mine that, you know, I've seen them on set before, and, you know, they can be pretty, you know, loud. But at the same time, I guess it depends on what your interpretation of crazy is. You know, like I don't know if you ever watched this show on the Style Network. It was Kimora Lee Simmons' show. And it was my favorite episode when this one guy was working for her, and he, you know, broke down into tears in her hallway, and he was like, "I'm just gonna quit. I'm gonna quit." And she said, well, "You know, if you want to quit, then go be a quitter, because the bottom line is that you're responsible for this area, and this person is responsible to you, and you're responsible to me. So when I ask you about a certain point, I expect the answer from you, and And if you didn't get the right answers from the person that reports to you, that's not my deal. So, but if you feel like you want to be a quitter, then go. Go off and be a quitter. Stop crying, folks. Like, stop crying. Get up and just do your job. Take some accountability for your actions. Take some accountability for what's happening. I don't know the person that you may have worked for. I've never worked with anybody that I thought was crazy. I've had clients that, you know, people have perceived them to be bitches, but at the same time, I never saw them that way. I just think that they know exactly what it is they want, and you think that they're being a bitch because they're not giving in to what you're prescribing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hell, like, people think I'm tough to deal with. Like, but I know that I'm difficult. I will not lie and say that I'm not difficult, but I'm not difficult in the sense that I'm malicious with it. I'm difficult in the sense that I want more. I want more for myself, and I want you to want more for you. So just naturally, I get riled up when I feel like you're not working as hard, because I don't need you here. No one needs you here. No one needs you anywhere. No one has to. No one owes you anything out here. No one owes me anything. The fact that all of these people are tweeting and talking and enjoying this conversation and that are calling in, these people don't owe me that.
Right.
And I don't owe them this conversation, but I want to give them this conversation because no one's offering that, you know, and I want your questions and I want your feedback because you want to offer that to me. And I want to do better and be better and work harder, and I need to know what my peers are thinking in order to be that person. And you coming into an organization, any organization, you got to put your best foot forward. And if you don't want to do that, then you shouldn't be there, period.
Right. Let me just make a quick announcement. For those of you who are in the chat room, the show was scheduled for 1.5 hours. So we've exceeded that time. The show is still recording. We're still speaking with AJ. But if you want it, well, I guess you can't hear me, but you need to call in and listen to the show over the phone at this point. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, are we putting that out on Twitter, too?
We need to put that out on Twitter. Yeah, I need to get that on Twitter as well. Hold on a second here.
This is a great call. I'm excited about
it. It really is. And also, for those who are listening by phone, we will be ending the call soon, but again, I spoke about it earlier. We will have him back on because there were some more things from Facebook that we want to talk about. And it still goes along with what we're talking about right now, but I just think we could really go into it a little bit more and just kind of also give the listeners, I guess, an idea, or maybe just based on what you've experienced, based on what I've experienced, and even the listeners can share some of their experiences as to how they, you know, you've come to a conclusion as how to deal with these questions. Like, what do you do, you know, when you get to a point where you felt like you've done all you can? We want to kind of share some of our experiences and just talk a little bit about that more. So we're going to schedule that for another time. But also to the listeners, move over to Facebook. We kind of after the show goes off, we kind of move over to Facebook and chat just a little bit more. So some people are probably moving over there now if they can't get on the phone line.
Okay.
Yeah, but we still have several people on the phone line. So I just wanted to kind of just finish.
Can we
up.
Take those calls? Can we take those calls?
Yeah, we can take. We have people listening. Let's see.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay.
Hands up. Who want to be Jennifer, James, and Brandilyn? Did you guys have anything else you wanted to say or add to the conversation?
No.
Oh, that's Jennifer. No.
I'm just taking it all in. I mean, a lot of the stuff that he's saying is stuff that I know and stuff that I need to hear again, because it really reinforces the strengths of what the core of our industry is really all about. And I'm just really glad to hear him touch on those things so strongly. And that being that voice that has a certain degree of success that a lot of young artists look to, you know, they look to a resume like AJ Crimson's, and just to hear him espouse those old school, so to speak, principles of hard work, pounding the pavement, taking care of your business, just thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'm happy that I could even be that voice. You know, I think it's, I think if nothing else, you know, I want to be that voice, you know. Like, I think, you know, I don't know. It's been a great ride. It's been a great road, and it's been an up and down, you know, road. I think you can't look at it. You just never know it until you're really in it and you're doing it. And when you're looking at, like, I can remember a Christmas, you know, early on, and I was thinking, wow, like, none of my checks came through, you know. None of my checks came through, and I didn't really save the money I needed to save to prepare for that November and that December. And that December was a very sad December, and it was a very slow January, and it was not so bright then either, you know. So it's just, you know, things like that, like saving our money, and, you know, and realizing that. That we have to be the CEOs of our business, you know, even when you have agents, because the agents are only there to do so much. They're there to guide you so much, you know. They're busy trying to make more money, and they're really busy trying to get you the best, you know, ways possible, so that when you are out, you know, and you're networking and you're meeting people, and you call your agent and say, hey, you know, so and so, you know, I'd like to work with this artist. I just kind of met with them. Can we do it? You know, yeah, you give it to your agent. Yeah, you call. Like, why are you, you know, don't worry about the 20%. Because I think I read a quote somewhere earlier today. 20% of something is, you know, better than no percent of 100% of nothing, you know. And, you know, what is that? You know, it's just a small price to pay, you know, I think, for good quality things and tools that are going to help you be better in every aspect of your career, you know, and it starts with us.
AJ, hi, it's Brandlyn again. I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
My question would be, when did you feel that, I guess, you know, on this ride, on this journey that you're on, when did you feel that there was like a turning point in going where you wanted to go? I mean, of course, we all do a lot of things, not to say that we don't necessarily want to do, but you kind of take on the opportunities that you're given because you do want to move to the next step and you want to stay relevant and things of that nature. But at one point, I don't know if I'm just imagining this for me, even for myself, but I just feel that I'm just wondering, was there a time when you are like – in your, you know, doing what you're doing, and you felt like this is exactly what I had in mind X amount of years ago? Has that happened?
I think when I was traveling back and forth from L.A. and New York every day, I was thought to myself, wow, this is crazy. I was like, but this is exactly what I thought it was. This is what I wanted. When I'm going back and forth between here and London, like, I was thinking, wow, this is great. Like, this is exactly what I wanted. I remember the first time when my money started turning over, like I was so fortunate that when I went to London actually for the first time to stay for about a month, and I didn't like it after 2 weeks. So I went and I stayed with a friend in Vienna, and I ended up working there on a couple of things, and I got this job in Paris, and I worked on Fashion Week and all these other things. And so when I came back, Pat had asked me to come to Italy for Fashion Week there, but I had started I was doing some stuff with 3OW at the time, and I was like, well, you know, like I can't really go because you know, the investment, I would have to pay to go and be there, and I had just kind of gotten back, so it didn't really make sense, and I was going into making money. So anyhow, I was on tour with Christina Milian, and, you know, I was still paying some things back because, you know, I had money lent out to me to get portfolios and some of that stuff, so I was still kind of in the negative, but it was the Christina Milian tour, maybe after the first or after the second week, when I needed a phone. My agent kept saying, "You have to get a phone. You need to get like another phone," because she was pressuring me to get a Sidekick or a BlackBerry. So I was like, "Okay, I'll get a Sidekick." And at the day that we were on the road in like some crazy, you know, Midwestern city, and I went into the mall. We were all shopping, and I bought this Sidekick. That was the day that I knew that my life had changed for the better, because I could afford the $200 or $300 that the Sidekick cost. My rent had been paid in LA, even though I wasn't there, and I still had money left over. I try to keep my expenses super low, so you know, I had money left over, and it was and my debt was up. You know, I had paid my debt up. That was a turning point. The next turning point was when I bought a real bed. So, it's
well,
a little
thing. I always feel like I'm like, there's going to be a point where things are turning, and I'm looking forward to that point, too. So, I'm glad it's little stuff.
I think it's little stuff. You know, I think every little thing is a turning point. You know, even when you get too busy for certain types of jobs, it's not even that you don't want to do them. It's just like, oh, you know what? I really want to do that job, but I'm busy. Like, I'm actually booked. I'm booked more days than not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody wants to book you on the same day.
Oh, yeah.
So,
of course.
Yeah.
It just works like that. AJ, we truly appreciate you coming on tonight. We really do. I don't even know what to say. I mean,
what do you mean?
I was trying to take it all in and do the interview all at the same time. And normally I have guests on and they'll say something and I'll try to just jot it down or whatever. I couldn't even write. I mean, I know we spoke earlier, but
yeah.
I'm acting as if this was the first time that, you know, I've heard you, you know, speak. But there were so many things that you said tonight that I think the listeners are going to take from this show and just really get to work.
Nice.
I think this was a show where, like, you know how you ask yourself these questions and you check yourself. Well, I think this was a show where you kind of check the listeners in so many ways, and I think we all can take something from this show and just kind of reevaluate where we are in our careers.
That's great, and I mean we're all students. You know, we're
right.
Eternal students, and we have, like, I'm gonna go back. I want to go back and listen to this show just so that I can hear some of the things that I, you know, spoke about. So just to make sure that I'm on that same path too, you know, because we all fall off, you know, we all fall off. Like, we all get thrown off track sometimes, but you know, the difference between getting thrown off and staying off course and getting thrown off and getting back on course, you know, that's
right.
That's the difference between those that are going to be successful, you know.
Right.
And you have to keep challenging yourself. Keep doing things differently. Keep, what do I want to tell you? I just want to tell you to just keep dreaming, you know, dreaming, but we're working to make those dreams into realities. You know, that's where that synergy is going to really make the difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just for those people who are out there listening, if you want to go back and hear the show, it takes about a good 10 minutes or so before Blog Talk Radio will post it out there. So give it about 10 minutes or so, and then you can go back and listen to it. For those of you who really like the show, go out and mark it as a favorite. Leave us comments on Facebook and Twitter. And I know you guys have been commenting in the chat room the whole time. They love you, AJ.
Listeners knew what they were saying.
They really, well, you know, the next time you come on the show, you have to sign in, I don't know how they do it. You sign in the chat room.
Okay.
And you can follow along. But we're going to definitely have you back, because I want to finish this conversation. I still think there's so many things we could talk about just on this topic alone. Again, just, you know, again, just keep doing what you're doing. We're of course we're going to be following you, and looking for more great stuff to come from you. And also, just had one more question, and we normally ask all of our guests this question, but this is totally different from all the things that we've been talking about, I guess. But what is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is the inspiration that I get when I wake up every morning to just this really beautiful sun, like just this array of sunlight that just fills, you know, my day. Like I always like to try to hold that bit of time for myself. Like I love, you know, the break of dawn, because for me, that lets me know that there's just another day to do something differently, to another day to do something better than I did yesterday. And it's another day for me to make a difference somewhere. And so beauty is the sunlight for me. Beauty is the break of dawn. Yeah.
Love it. But, you know, it seems like this show is not going to end. It looks like we have another caller, so I'm going to go ahead on and
take Oh, nice. Hold on. I'm game.
Hello, from 443. Hello.
Hi, this is Carly.
Hey, Carly. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say that I'm very inspired by everything that you were saying tonight. I know that you were talking a lot about just being in the industry, but I wanted to talk about, like, some of your products, because I had some of your foundation sticks before. So I wanted to know, are you still going in that direction, or are you just focusing on the Kissable Couture with the lipsticks and glosses and all of that stuff?
You know what? It's so interesting. Okay, so building a brand is not an easy task, and it costs a lot of money to do it. And when, so, you know, and I think fortunately, like, Kissable Couture has been doing very well on its own for quite some time. So it's just, so I really wanted to focus on building Kissable Couture. When I released the powders and the foundation sticks, it was really more of like a beta project. It was like a test, I guess, to see, you know, if it was, like, how the formula was, how did people respond to it, excuse me, if it was something I wanted to move forward with. I absolutely do want to continue to do it. I just think I need to figure out a different way or a different approach to launch it, because for me, it's something that I want to make it affordable. With Kissable Couture, it's more of a luxury item. You know, for it's platformed as a luxury item. So it's a $22 lip gloss, and even though that's about an average price or average cost of a lip gloss these days, I wanted to create something else, sorry, that I think maybe a little less, at a different price point, just at a lower price point, but I don't want to sacrifice the quality of the product. So to answer the question just more straightly, the AJ Crimson brand is still building, but it will – moving forward, it'll be known as Beauty Statements by AJ Crimson. So when you see things resurface, it'll be as a Beauty Statements product. And the reason for the name change is because I think that there's so many beautiful things in life, and there's so many statements to be told and to be communicated, that I wanted to mesh the two together and really create something a little more inspirational and, you know, and a product that you will feel good using at the same time. So it's still going to be out there. And the funny thing is, if you need something, you should definitely just email me, because I have more of that product that I just haven't released. I just kind of warehouse it. So if you need something, email me at crimsonite10@gmail.com, and I can get it out to you.
Okay, yeah, definitely, because I love those, and I just was like, I don't know if he's still doing it, or...
Yeah, I still have them. Actually, they actually kind of show up around the makeup show time. Like, I usually bring some of the stuff out. I just haven't put a full push behind it, to be honest. I don't really have a real reason why I haven't done it. I just, you know, other than, you know, the changes that I want to make to it.
But are you still using them in your personal kit? Or are you going more so?
I do actually. I still use them in my personal kit.
Okay. Cool.
I think I'm just keeping it all to myself.
Well, I will be emailing you soon because I would like to get some more.
Perfect. Right on.
All right, and that was it.
That's all right. Well, good times. I'm glad you asked that question. And just, I guess, just to piggyback that, Kissable Couture is doing a lot of really great things. I'm gearing up to, I'm working on some eyeshadows right now, which I think for holiday we'll have those ready to go. I'm going to do them in palettes because I feel like people really love, they loved our Smooches kits. So for holiday, I think it'll be a great introduction. And because, again, we're like a smaller brand, and we like to try new things. It'll be a great way for us to enter into that lane and see how you guys like it.
That's good to hear.
Nice. Did you have another question? Are you all good?
No, that was basically it. I mean,
okay.
Tonight
right
you have just answered everything that we could even imagine or ask. So,
exactly.
But we
all
didn't
right
really touch base on products, so I just wanted to ask that.
Nice, right on. Well, I do want to talk about one thing, I was testing the waters with it at the last makeup show. I have a few people that were asking me about classes, and I don't know that I'm going to generally do like a regular class again the way I've done them before, because I felt as if I wanted to try to find a way to make this class more than just, I guess, like a seminar. And knowing what I know, you know, about some of the education that you guys are accustomed to or that you even have access to, I wanted to create something totally different where you really could take home a bit of me, I guess. And that was in this new course that I'm designing, which you can find it at, if you go to ajcrimson.com, which is my blog, it's on the right-hand side. It gives you more of the details of this class. But I've already done this with about maybe 6 or 7 students, and it's gone really well. I'm really excited about it. But it's a completely hands-on class, and I'm only taking 6 people in each class maximum. So in the first few that I've done, we've done it with like 3 people in one, and then we've done it with a few more in another, and then I've also just done it where it was more one-on-one. And in this class, where I'm basically taking my kit, I'm giving you access to my kit, and there's certain things that I'm actually giving you for your kit. Like we're going into foundations. It's more than just beauty one-on-one. It's just more application. It's so much about the application, I think, because a lot of you have beauty 101. A lot of you have like the basics because you got it from whether you worked at a makeup counter or you worked, you know, or you went to a beauty school or you took some classes. You have those basics, and I always feel like everybody kind of has that, and no one can really teach you how to do teach you color or teach you, you know, some of those things. But it is about an application, and what I found. When I teach certain classes, like the last class that I had done in D.C. was with the Bennett Career Institutes, which that was a really great moment for me there because I got to see so many different skill levels in one place. And when I taught my class and I said, hey, we're going to attempt to do this look because I don't use a lot of powder, we're going to do this look with no powder, I saw so many kits opening up that had powder. And they were using powder on the person, and that totally negates the entire technique in which I was teaching you if you're going to return to powder or do your whole face, your whole makeup in this space. So with this particular course, it's 2 days for most, and there's a third day, which I've done with as like a follow-up with just to kind of go into some business details. But we're going to spend about 6 to 8 hours together on day one, and we're just going through the kit, and we're going through, you know, the different applications, and we're testing things out, and we're getting down to the basics of, or not really down to the basics, but we're going a little bit further than the basics to figure out how to get this application just perfect and just the right way through technique. Day two, I brought in photography friends of mine that I have tested my entire book with, for the most part, and we do jobs and things together, and I bring in models that I would use for my portfolio, mm-hmm. because I'm super particular about that. Like, there's nothing worse than like seeing a portfolio with great makeup and the wrong model, or, you know, all the other things, because a picture is not a picture unless the entire thing is perfect. So I'm bringing in models for each student, and you're actually going to shoot with my photographers, and we're going to test. We're going to do a couple looks based on everything that you learned the day before. For the 2 days, and with this photo shoot and these retouched images that you're going to get back for your book, it is $1,500. But that's a small price to pay to work with photographers that you wouldn't have access to work with models that you don't have access to, and to sit and really be able to get your questions answered in an environment and in a setting that's one-on-one. You know, it's not 20 of us, it's not 10 of us, it's like 3 or 4, maybe 6 at the most. So you get the attention. You're going to get my undivided attention in that class. And so for all of those that are interested in that, you can email me at that same email address, crimsonite10@gmail.com, and we can talk about it more if you want more details. But it's really only for people that are super serious about it. Yeah.
What was Crimson I 10?
Crimsonite. So CRIMSONITE, like kryptonite, but crimsonite.
Right.
Just go to ajcrimson.com and it's there.
It'll be there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really love how you said, but that's only for those people who are really serious.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, because, you know, again, like the thing about some of the classes that I've taught before, I always felt a little confused just because I never knew what the skill level was in the room. You know, there's some people that are, you know, that are a little more advanced that don't need certain things, you know, and then there's some of them that were in the room and they were just starting out, you know. So I think that you have to know what your skill level is in order to really participate or want to participate in something. So, you know, this kind of takes the guesswork out of it. You know, this is for those who, you know, there's a certain way that I create beauty on my clients. You know, I always like to still see them, you know, A. Marie. So actually we have a shoot coming up and for her wedding, like she was saying to me, she's like, AJ, like you know, I've always loved the way you've done my makeup. And even though, like, I know all of your other clients and I know who you do, I never feel like I see me in them. I see myself. Yeah. I always see myself. And even if we try something really dramatic or something really different or off to the left, you still see A. Marie. You never say, oh, A. Marie's makeup was amazing if you're not looking for that. You always say A. Marie looks amazing. So I never lost A. Marie in that look, where some artists that you look at after they're, you know, through glam, you're wondering who that is. You know, it's really important to never lose that. I think that's why I've lasted so long.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's good times. I don't know if I have any closing notes. I only want to say thank you to everyone who's ever supported me, and thank you for all of you listeners who are, you know, who are coming to shows like this and listening and, you know, listening to me go on and on for hours and feeling like you can take something away from it, because I think that that's really, that's my goal. I just want you, if you don't agree with some of it, hopefully you'll agree with something, and maybe you'll find another thing to take home and apply it to your own day to day, and it'll help you. Because I just remember, you know, there was not, from creating Kissable Couture, there's no book out there to tell you how to create a makeup line. I had to figure it all out. And there was no book actually, that's not true. There is a book, The Hair, Makeup, and Wardrobe Guide that Crystal Wright does, which I actually had that book when I set off on my journey to start all of this stuff. So there was a book that did tell you how to do certain things, but there were also certain aspects of the book when you start to put it into practical uses that you'd only learn by doing. So you know, I want to at least be able to buffer some of that for some of those who, you know, if you don't have the book, you need to get it, or, you know, if you've grown past the book and, you know, and now we're just trying to figure out how to expand the brand, you know?
Absolutely.
So I thank you all. Appreciate it. I appreciate you for inviting me on the show.
Oh, not a problem. I thank you. And I'm going to thank you in advance for coming back on the show really soon.
Yes. It's going to be great.
Yes, yes, yes. So I guess the only thing I can say is thank you again. We have that email straight now, crimsonnight10@gmail.com. And if you didn't get that, then go to ajcrimson.com. And I guess that's it, but thank you so much. I think I'm pretty sure the people in the chat room and those listening are going to be mad, but yes, we're ending the show now, but he'll be back and we'll do it all over again.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry not to cut you off.
Okay.
So I was going to do a live Ustream. I'm going to do a live Ustream on October 2nd.
Okay.
And I've been promoting it on Twitter over the last couple of days. So I am still going to do the live Ustream. The only part about it is that I can only speak and I can only read your comments.
Okay.
So that's the part that's kind of the bummer for me, because I really want to talk to people. But I am still going to do it, and I'm going to be able to answer some of the questions if you don't get to have your questions answered today. So I'll see you guys
okay.
on Sunday.
And can you tell us how do we get to this?
I'm going to send a link out through Twitter and Facebook, and you just log on to the link, because it'll be a Ustream. So I'm trying to work out a way where it actually shows up on Facebook right now, because I've been getting really techie lately. So I think I'm getting close. So we'll see how it all turns out. So if I don't end up at this Hip Hop Awards, we're definitely still on for October 2nd, folks.
All right. Well, if you do wind up at the Hip Hop Awards, please give me a call, because we are here in Atlanta.
Nice. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
You are there.
Yes. So let us know.
ATL. All right. Well, good times. Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody.
Right.
And don't forget to follow
okay.
me on Twitter and Facebook, and leave me questions and comments. I love answering all that good stuff. And I guess I'll talk to everybody on the next time on Beauty Talk.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody.